Sharon.
In order to amend chapter 15 of the City of Dunwoody Code of Ordinances by removal of certain requirements.
All right, thank you. Is there someone to speak to this from staff? If they were smart, they'd have been out of here a few hours ago. So. Warned by obligation, I think you're the only one left.
Last dog standing.
I'd be happy to. This is an ordinance that would change the business license ordinance that would, sure, I'm right. It
removes the tax returns in the affidavit.
Yes. Removes the tax return affidavit.
I'll start off the questions. Impact, is there anybody here to answer? I mean, I think it certainly makes sense, and, I just question to the small business owner as well, what's the checks and balances?
May I say this very short? One is that this is a first read, and we haven't had a chance really to get into the details of asking the appropriate questions and getting the answers. So I don't have too much to share with you on the impact. I just would like to just reserve those comments for next time.
I'm the sponsor of this amendment, and I have looked into it and gotten lots of conversations on it. First thing I'd like to say is the City of Dunwoody's mission statement clearly reflects that we're going to serve our two stakeholders, the citizens, as well as the businesses of Dunwoody. And I think that we need to make sure that we do live up to that code as it relates to the businesses. We've sent out license notices. In some cases, they didn't arrive on time. And I've gotten more emails on this subject than perhaps I have any other regarding the fact that they've never been asked to provide their Georgia tax returns as a verification. I think we should look at the entire process of business licensing and how we have our ordinance set up. Basically, there are four fees that are charged as part of our business licenses. And there are two types of business licenses. There's one for professional people. There's one for businesses such as a hotel or a restaurant or a regular business at Perimeter Mall, Macy's. The professional piece of this thing, they pay $400 as a flat fee per person that they have on their staff. And that's the way business licenses are assessed. With respect to other businesses, there are six categories based on the SIC code of those businesses. As to how they're assessed. Each business pays a $50 fee for administrative costs, a $75 fee. There's a $125 fee that every business pays. In addition to that, they pay a $4 to $14 fee based on the type of business they're in per head that they have on their staff. And they pay a fee that ranges from 0.0018% up to something a little bit higher than that, but not much higher than that. If you take the average business or assume the average business in Dunwoody, or if you look at the businesses in Dunwoody, we've got several different kinds. We are very blessed to have more Fortune 500 companies located in this community than any other community in the Southeast. And I think that's something that we want to make sure that we nurture and care for. And the Southeastern businesses that we have here, Fortune 500, are not Fortune 500 headquarters companies, but they're primarily regional offices for those companies. They may have a sales office in Perimeter Center. They may have development office in Perimeter Center that produces no revenues, but it produces income for us as taxpayers, their jobs for us, for our community. I think we would welcome someone like Google moving into our community, but they wouldn't produce a nickel's worth of income revenues under our charter for our tax bases anyway. Because all their revenues flow into advertising revenues that go to California, not to Dunwoody. What they would have here would be people who are developing, people who are running service bureaus, operating computer systems. But these are not considered to be revenue generators. Their revenues come off of advertising for the most part. We have S corporations here, and those revenues, and an S corporation, that goes into a personal income tax in the small business. And I would say that preponderance of our businesses are businesses that are S corporations or LLC corporations that go into your business, and I think your business would fall into that category. I think it's improper, notwithstanding the fact that we have it in our current ordinance, for us to ask individuals to disclose their personal income tax as a vehicle for verifying what their revenues, their gross revenues are. And this is on the basis of gross revenues. Most of these sales offices have no revenues. They may have a head or two. The biggest employer in Dunwoody is Intercontinental Hotels Group. They've got 800 people on their staff. They've got two places in Dunwoody that produces revenue. One is the Intercontinental Hotel, the Crown Plaza, and they get franchise fees off of that. They've got a second location, which is a product of hotels they own, which is the Sabre Suites. Those are the only revenues that would come in to Dunwoody that would be taxed under this. All the other revenues flow through to London, which is where their corporate headquarters are. Their operation headquarters are here. I believe that very strongly that it's improper for us to ask people to share their personal income tax. I don't think it's meaningful. If you look at the size of the businesses that we have here, for us to ask them to verify. The typical business is between $1 and $2 million and probably has less than 10 people on their payroll, I think would be what I would describe as a typical business in Dunwoody. And if you figure out the taxes that would be owed to Dunwoody for a business in that category, the average tax would be somewhere around $425. That includes $4 for 10 people, $40. Would be the assessment there, and it'd be another $385 or so that they'd have to pay for occupational license fee there, based on that category that I mentioned earlier, 0.00018%.
I think it's about $1,000 per $1 million of revenue, is what I figured.
It's not that much.
No. It was that much for me.
I might need to appeal this thing, man.
It's sitting on my wall, $1,000.
Okay. But, you know, the number we're talking about is one that I think we could trust our business leaders here to go with, and I think that's what we should do.
All right. Any other discussion on that?
Just thank you. Question. Yes. What's the standard where you've been before war? I mean, just your experience from numerous cities. Is there a standard, or is it?
Yeah, I think that what I've seen previously is the same kind of hybrid mix between gross income and employees, but we've used it on the backside for the income tax, so that if we want to go ahead and ask for it to be verified, you can. That's the way I've used it in the past, is that you come in on the back end if you don't like the number you see.
So if you tell somebody's really just deceiving
the... Yeah, or if you did a stratified sample audit, and just ask those companies
that are requiring every business to file.
No, I mean, we copied the CAPS ordinance exactly. Okay. How they implement it and how we, may not be in line with our ordinance. But I've seen it done a number of different ways.
So there's no state law that governs that or anything?
No, it's...
How we do that?
No, it's just that, the simplicity of it is that, you've got the ordinance, they owe this amount of money. How you ensure that money, correct amount of money is paid is up to the municipality, and it's certainly a policy decision that y'all can make.
I have one other question before I turn it to Danny again. Just out of curiosity, let's say that the taxes are done based on expected revenue. Let's say the company's revenues are half what they expected. Is there a refund policy, or how does that work?
It's a true up at the end of the year, and you compare what they, what they paid versus what they should have paid, and if it's a refund to them, and they get a refund, it's a...
Okay, and in that particular case, obviously, then you would have to produce...
Correct.
..your income statements in some form or fashion.
But the folks that, I said it properly, there are instances where you have businesses that will have said they're going to earn $500,000, they earn $1.5 million, and then don't come back to us and say, by the way, I just want to let you know.
I was thinking the opposite. I'm pretty sure on that.
There are a lot of businesses that will come back and say, hey, we just want to be up on the up and up, and here's what it is. The other thing that I would
advise the council too is that when we changed from requiring a federal tax return to a state income tax, we lost a little bit on that from unintended consequences that the single member LLC, on the federal return, there's a schedule. And I think if we were at some point to require, just even on the verification side, or if this doesn't move forward, I think we need to switch that up in the ordinance some way to not take, we don't want a personal return because it doesn't do us any good.
Right.
What we really want is the schedule, the schedule, I forget what form it is on your federal return.
It's
K-1. That would give us the number we're looking for without getting into the personal.
But the K-1 doesn't get produced for single member LLC. It just flows right to your bottom line. So if you look at a tax return, you have no clue. You'd have to look at Quicken or an accounting books product, because the income tax return is not going to show. It's just going to show profit.
Is there a schedule C?
Yeah, on the schedule C.
Schedule C.
Right, along with all of your other income.
There's some letter. What I've been told is that somewhere on the federal return, we need whatever that document is.
Yeah, I hear you.
I've been unlucky in life. Whenever
We got Danny next.
Yeah, just a couple of things. One is, we have in our current ordinance the ability to go back and audit anybody who we feel is out of bounds. We also should note that we, from DeKalb County, got a database that included all those payments that they paid in 2008. So we know what something we could compare it against. Now, obviously, if it's way offline one or the other, but I would suggest that a $450 bill from a business that is $1 to $2 million in size and has 10 employees, I want to go after those guys that are not paying anything, as opposed to going and auditing these guys and trying to pick up another $100.
Right. Question for you. The way this is written now, are we required to get their,
yes,
their income taxes? Or is it just that for the purposes of this section, evidence of gross receipts is their tax return? In other words, do we have discretion in whether or not we ask for this in the way this is written now?
No, I think it's a shall be a copy of the business.
Okay. But are we required to ask for evidence, I guess, is my point. Yes?
Yes.
This shall be evidence, but is there a requirement that we ask for evidence, or are we only asking for evidence when we want it? I mean,
it says that you shall require a return, and then it says, for the purposes of this section, the prima facie evidence, basically the return required, shall be a copy of the business.
Okay.
So
now, we could make that a may.
Okay.
I understand what Danny's trying to do, but I have a little problem in today's world. When we've got folks that are holding high office in Washington and didn't pay their taxes the last few years, I have a little problem that the person that's the honest person that's ponying up is paying more than their share for the person that maybe I hope we don't have any of these here. But you are inviting something there. I come from the government, and I can go in and I'm the senior guy and I can tell the pay guy, hey, I'm married. He said, thank you very much, sir. Let me see your marriage license. And you get your marriage license. End of story. You don't get extra pay unless you can produce the marriage license. I don't know here if we're not opening Pandora's box. And again, punishing those folks that are just as honest as can be, and maybe let the other folks kind of slide under the radar a little bit. I think, a person's word backed up by a document is perfectly, and we're not asking for personal income tax returns here, we're asking for business income tax returns.
Not so.
And
you are, because when we change to Georgia, we don't have the form we need, because we changed that, as you remember, from used to be federal income tax, and we changed it to Georgia.
We did change it.
If you kept some of this, I would recommend you change that, or just put the actual schedule, whatever, CK, 4-6, whatever it is. So that, I agree.
I'm a little concerned here that, that this is, just inviting some things that we don't want to have happen. And if everybody knows the rules and it's a level playing field, and everybody understands, and we move on. I don't think, I think if I recall right, this is one of the things you cannot come in and go under the Open Records Act and get your hands on. Am I correct on that?
No, you can get it, but it'd be highly redacted.
Would have your name.
Would be, we would take out all personal information.
You'd take out all the information having to do with growth, confidential, personal information. You'll get a form basically with the name.
That's my concern. My concern is, I have to put a copy of my federal taxes right on it. They require me to do that. Like I said, 90% of the folks are going to be right up there, Johnny, on the spot. But I think you're inviting some people to take a shortcut on me that you may not want to do.
Okay. Any other discussion on this? Danny?
I'd just like to make one comment. Because of all the variations in this thing, I think that in addition to making this this amendment, which we'll talk about the next meeting, hopefully pass, because I do feel strongly it should, because I think that it's unfair to the businesses, particularly those small businesses where personal income taxes are required. I think that we need to go and do a study on this whole subject of business licensing and come up with the best practices recommendation on this thing, because this is, we have to provide services to big companies as well as large as small companies. And if we're charging Intercontinental Hotels for 800 people at $4 a pop, that's $3,200, and they've got 800 people that we have to provide services to. That doesn't, it seems to me that there's not a relationship there between what we're getting in taxes and the amount of services that we're having to provide to them on the basis that we currently have our tax code set up. So I think we need to study this thing and come up with the best practices approach going forward.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good point.
Yes, John.
I agree with Danny. We need a fair and equitable tax system. If the state Georgia income tax return is a problem and we need to look at federal, and that might be the fix, so be it. We also need to get every tax dollar that's owed to us under that fair and equitable tax system. I'm under the guise of trust but verify. If we need to verify a certain percentage, we need the means in which to do that. So I would hope that, again, a fair and equitable tax system, trust but verify.
Okay, which brings up a question that I'll hopefully end this on, and either for Brian or Warren, just to reiterate. Right now, striking this statement is basically saying you have to provide this to get a license. So we strike this. We still have the rights, I'm guessing, to audit anybody and ask.
Yes. That's correct. We do have that right to audit and request to turn the audit.
Yeah.
If we strike it.
Okay. So we still have that
trigger, if you will.
Okay.
We have that right, and we have something to prepare against also prior tactics.
Okay. Any other discussion on that? I'll leave it open a couple more minutes if you guys want to think about it. No, I'm moving on. Okay. Public comments. Are there any more white cards?
No. She does not have a card.
Could you provide her a card, please, Brian? Please step up.
Bring up a question.
Okay. We'll get you a card.
If you can just tell us who you are, and you can
fill out the form later.
Lynn Shue, one from the state. I just had a question about the stream buffer. I didn't hear what you had to say. So the change from 75 feet, it's always been 75 feet.
I'll ask our city attorney, Brian, could you address stream buffer, this, please?
Okay, what this ordinance is we had a stream buffer variance that did not allow any granting of a variance from 50 feet to 25 feet. 25 feet to the stream buffer itself is regulated by the state. So from the stream to the first 25 feet is from the state. What we have is a stream buffer ordinance that said from 25 to 50, there can be no variance granted. Now we're considering allowing the Board of Zoning Appeals to grant a variance for that distance. So from 75 to 25, they have to go to the Board of Zoning Appeals and ask for a variance in which they may or may not grant.
So it's just, does that measurement start from the bank or the center of the stream? Because I've been into that before, and that's extremely critical.
Yes. The technical definition is what they call rested vegetation, which is it's typically meant to be in the bank or closer to the bank. It's not from the center of the stream. It's closer to where the bank is. But it's not exactly the top of bank. It's where the vegetation, if you look at the grass, the grass that's growing along the stream, the part of the grass that's bent over, the top where the grass stops bending over because of the flow of the stream, that's the top arrested vegetation. For, you can use the top of bank as
top of bank is
close. Top of bank is close enough.
Okay, so for public comment, just to clarify, if there's anything you'd like to, I know that answered hopefully your questions for you, but if there's anything you'd like to just state for the public.
You say, we really don't answer questions as a rule. You can just say, I did not understand. And
we offer a room.
But is there anything you'd like to state in public comment just as a...
No, I just really wanted clarification on that. If to protect all parties concerned, is if it's from the bank or the center of the stream, because I've been into those issues before.
Okay. And y'all can. I'm gonna make a motion to adjourn. And if you would, grab.
Thank you.
Yes, one more thing.
Yeah, this is related to the tree buffer. Just want Comcast had asked just on there. I forget what the exact date of the event is, but just want to see.
Saturday.
We plan on attending. Just need to get them a head count.
I'm going to be there probably for the first 15 minutes.
I don't know my son's baseball schedule, so I don't know.
Okay, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
No pressure. Second motion.
All right, any opposed?
Adjourn. But you're going to be out of town.
No, I have a business schedule that I thought I was going to blow off.